Well, do keep your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 24 as we think today about signs of the end. I don't know if you've passed the manse lately, but at this time of year, the beech hedge out front has been changing colour. All season so far, it has been covered with brown leaves, last year's brown leaves. But with the arrival of springtime and things beginning to come alive again, those old brown leaves have now been pushed off. And the green leaves have come on the beech hedge, and it means that I can no longer see the cars that are going past the manse. But it's also a sign that summertime is just around the corner. And here in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus doesn't use a beech hedge to make a point, but he uses a fig tree to make a point in verse 32. He says, "Learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door." The question is, what's the "it" Jesus is referring to here? What event has he in mind? And the answer is that he is speaking about the second coming, the end of all things. And this is the subject, the topic that I want us to think about this morning. Notice how it comes about in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" Jesus asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." The other day in the car, there was a song playing. It was by Dire Straits, the song "Love Over Gold." And there's a lyric in that song that goes like this: "When the things that you hold can fall and be shattered or run through your fingers like dust." You see, the disciples regarded the Jerusalem temple as there forever. Such a magnificent, beautiful, significant building. Yet Jesus here says to them, not one stone is going to be left upon another. The things that you hold will fall and be shattered and run through your fingers like dust. And that time is coming, Jesus says. And I suspect for us in the middle of a COVID-19 pandemic, lots of people are feeling similarly. Whole lives, whole lifestyles, whole futures have suddenly been snatched away. And we're asking the question, what does the future hold when the things that you hold can fall and be shattered or run through your fingers like dust? But what Jesus does here is Jesus presents to them a much bigger picture. He talks to them about the second coming, about a reality that is coming down the line that matters more than anything else. The second coming, bigger than the destruction of Jerusalem, bigger than COVID-19, bigger than whatever may be happening in the world today. Jesus points them to the signs of the end and urges them to get ready for that. And he gives a number of them. Let's consider them together now. First of all, he says false Christs will appear. He says in verse 5, "Many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." In other words, before the second coming of the real Jesus Christ, there will be lots of people on earth who will claim to be Christ, and they will be false Christs. Religious leaders, or a religious leader, one perhaps greater than all the rest, who will claim to be the voice of Christ on earth, to have the authority of Christ, and to know the mind of Christ. And Jesus comes back to this in verse 23. He says, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time." People may claim to be able to do great signs and miracles. They may even do great signs and miracles. But the question for you and me is this: what are they saying about the Word of God? Where is their authority? Are they turning us to Scripture? Or are they saying, "Look at us, listen to us, We are the ones who know the real mind of God. This is what Isaiah was confronted with in his day. And this is why he says in Isaiah chapter 8, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Is their message God's word? Whatever miracles they're doing, whatever signs they may be performing, is their message God's word? Because Jesus says in verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. If someone comes up to you and says, oh, the Lord told me to say this, or the Lord told me to say that, or God spoke to me and said this, you need to say to them, well, where's your chapter and verse? How do you know it's just not your own head has made that up? False Christs and false religions, their coming are a sign. People who claim to be representatives of Christ are a sign that the end is coming, because the true Christ, you see, must come to do away with all false Christs. Secondly, as a sign of the end, Jesus mentions wars and natural disasters, verse 6 and 7. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. I don't know about you, but it seems whenever you turn on the news at the moment, the whole world seems to be in turmoil. Whether it's the pandemic, mob rule on the streets, natural disasters like the fires in the Amazon, or wars in the Middle East or in Africa, it feels like the world is on fire and no one is able to do anything about it. But Jesus says there in verse 8, all these are the beginnings of birth pains, which actually is good news. For the result of birth pains is that a baby is born. New life comes about as a result of birth pains. And Jesus' point here is that wars and natural disasters are but the birth pains. Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 8, where he says, the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. In other words, the creation, the world, is groaning for a new world. It's groaning for a new creation, for new life, for the world wasn't meant to be this way. And when God made the world, he didn't make it this way. So wars and natural disasters are a cry for help, for the sovereign Lord to come, for Jesus to come and restore the world to its natural harmony and well-being and shalom, that sense of wholeness that has been lost. Wonder, are you yearning for wholeness? Are you yearning for well-being? Jesus says that'll come when I return, and the yearning is a sign that the end is coming. The third sign I want to mention is gospel preaching to all nations. And this is mentioned in verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In the year 1900, it was estimated that in Africa there were 10 million professing Christians. But just over 100 years later, it is estimated now in Africa that there are 380 million Christians. The gospel has been preached across the entire continent of Africa. Or take China. When Christian missionaries were expelled from China in 1949 as the communists took over, it's reckoned that there were some 4 million professing Christians in China, and many people feared for the future of the church. But nowadays, when China is a lot more open, it's reckoned that nowadays in China there are something like 60 million Christians, and that's probably a conservative estimate, as the gospel has been preached all across that vast nation of over a billion people. You see, the gospel is being preached in all the world. Gospel has been preached in a way in all the world that it was never preached before. But not without cost, Jesus indicates here, verse 9. You will be handed over to be persecuted and, and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." In other words, Satan's not going to give up his territory without a fight. There will be casualties. But look at verse 13. "He who stands firm to the end will be saved, and then the end will come." Bishop Ryle says, "Whatever tribulation comes on the world, God's elect are safe." So go on. Go on in your faith. Make your calling and election sure. Hold firm until Jesus Christ comes. And the fourth and last sign of the second coming that I want to point to today is mentioned in verse 29 and 30. "The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from the sky. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds, the sky with power and great glory." When the space rocket went up to the International Space Station a couple of weeks ago, people went out at bedtime to see if they could see the afterburners of the rockets as it went across the sky. Apparently it was visible from Earth. It was a sign of the technology and the advance, the technological advance of mankind. But here's Jesus indicating a divine sign, a cosmic sign, a darkened sun and moon, stars falling, the universe falling apart, in other words, coming apart at the seams. And then he'll come on the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. He shall come. And the nations, he says in verse 30, well, they're going to mourn. Why will they mourn? Well, because they won't be ready. Because their souls, the souls of the people, will not be saved. They disbelieve the very thing that was preached to them, the second coming of Christ. And then it'll be happening right in front of their eyes, and it'll be too late to do anything about it. They'll have been caught out. A bit like a burglar burgling a house, and he climbs out the window, and when he climbs out the window, standing there is a policeman who's been called to the house. He's nothing to say. He's guilty. He's been caught red-handed. That's why the nations will mourn when Jesus comes, because they've been caught out red-handed. As I close then, I wonder, friends, how will it fare with you when Christ comes? For the signs are all there pointing to his second coming, the false Christs or false religious leaders, the wars and natural disasters, the gospel preached to all nations, the promise of cosmic happenings. And I haven't even mentioned the ongoing existence of the Jewish church hinted at here in the ongoing existence of the Jewish nation that's hinted at here. Many Jews are coming to faith in Christ as well in these days in which we are living. So that's why when Jesus says when he comes, there will be people eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They won't believe it. They'll have heard about it, but they'll not believe it. They'll have ignored the warnings, and then, bang, Christ appears. Two men will be in the field, verse 40. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. You see, one was saved and one wasn't. One was walking with God, but one wasn't. One had repented of their sins and was living by faith in God's word, and one hadn't repented. One thought it was all daft, and one thought it was all doubtful and constraining to their lives. The other one took God at his word. Question is, which are you? That's what the people did in Noah's day. They heard the flood was coming. They didn't believe. They didn't get into the ark. But the flood came. The signs are there. That's why Jesus says in verse 44, "So you also must be ready." Do you remember we used that text at our mission in Drumrea back in February? Seems a long time ago now. "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." I wonder, are you ready? We live in an unbelieving age, a skeptical and a scoffing age, but Christ is coming. The signs are all there. Don't be the devil's fool. Rather, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. God's wrath remains on him. Amen.